Okay, so this book, which started, was originally called The Big Picture, sold 1.4 million copies in 20 languages. It actually probably sold about 5 to 6 million. It's just these days, they counterfeit your books so badly. Yeah. It's crazy. Anything Eastern Europe, anything Asian, Middle Asian, things African, they just... I sold 2 million copies in Russian. I've been told. So my background, just so you know, because it's like, you know, you guys are very blessed because you're literally at the start of what we're doing in the UK. And if we don't do something special in the UK, I will be amazed. And I'm prepared, I've already told these guys, I will spend a lot of time in the UK over the next 18 months to make sure what we're doing works, okay? And my background is that I left school. I went to a very special university. It doesn't matter in this part of the world, but down under, it is the most famous university. It's the number one scholarship from New Zealand to get to. It's a four-year officer school like West Point. It's called RMC Duntroon, King of Thailand. Went to RMC Duntroon. And I left that in 87 because there was no wars. Went to the UK. I spent 2 years as a banker, pioneered this new thing called derivatives, which now obviously is huge. It wasn't there back then. And then I was in strategic consultancy. And then in the summer of 1989, I joined the network marketing industry in the UK, in London. I was living in London, young fella. And I've done 30 years in the industry of network marketing. I'm considered an expert in the subject. I've advised many organizations. I was the advisor to the British government when they introduced their license, their regulations on pyramid sales and network marketing and all this sort of stuff in the 90s. I became the go-to guy with organizations, but I was also doing other things as far as creating companies. Ben and I know each other because I founded what is the most successful company in that space called Telecom Plus, better known as Utilities Warehouse. So I got told about the idea that's so relevant to DAXI because this was a fundamental change. It was the deregulation of telecoms and utilities in the UK. It was transformational as far as all sorts of things. If people remember the old trying to get a new telephone in British Telecom used to take how many months? Okay, it was impossible. It was just total bullshit. They finally deregulated it. And the problem with it was something that you have to know to really get excited, is the hardest thing in a new market, and this is where everyone gets it wrong, the hardest thing in a new market involved with the consumer is customer acquisition. Customer acquisition. There are countless companies in the crypto space, expect countless of them, but their number one problem is always, how do I get customers? 90%, 95% of all the crypto companies that have been created in the last 2 years, some of them, many of them, have raised more money for a startup than has ever happened. Okay? We had this period, this boom in 2017, early 2018, where a company with literally not even a business plan, with what was called a white paper, which is just saying, here's this idea based in every shithole in the world that you would never send money to. Bulgaria, Belarus, Latvia, Mongolia, Vietnam, Philippines, Uruguay. They would create this thing, some tech guys put this thing out in the world, and they would raise $10 million. Like, if they came to the UK and talked to a British VC and said, hi, I come from St. Petersburg, and me and my friends want $20 million to come up with a thing, they would just look at them and say, why have you even wasted my time? Do you know what I mean? It's like, get out of my office. Like, does anyone understand it? So there was this FOMO frenzy, which said that these guys... people took them seriously. And to give you an idea, I have in Australia, the director in Australia is one of my oldest buddies, and he used to be a big time investment banker. He's been chairman of public listed firms, really good friend of mine. And through him, I met this guy who's the global boss of risk at a global bank. And they said, "Hey, Ed, you're in crypto. Can you have a look at this company that they've created?" And I looked on this website, and this website is literally Formula Tech Company. Very cool idea, all these pictures of these guys with the half-shaven millennials who work for Google and all this sort of stuff, and the latest technology with the app-based crypto, you know, just pay your things. You know, there's a company called Acorns, which is very famous in the UK, in the US, which basically said, just take little bits of money every day and send it off and save it and invest in shares called Acorns. Really cool idea. Massive company with billions, lots of stuff. And, "Oh, we're doing like Acorns for crypto and da da da." And they said, does Daxi work with them? You know, can you help them? Do you want to be on their board? Do you want to give them money?" And I just sent them a thing back and I said, "I would not give 1 cent and I guarantee you this company will fail. I will bet you the money that I would invest in you, I will bet you that they will fail." And they went, what the hell? What are you saying that?" And I said, "Nowhere in your white paper and nowhere in your business plan do you say anything about how you're going to get your customers, because you have no idea how you're going to do that. And it is the most important thing, and you will fail." I said, "Goose, my mate, who's the thanks, do not put a cent in this. It will fail." And that's what happened in the dot-com boom. They couldn't acquire customers. Okay? And that was a pause for impact.
It worked.
Because if you get what I just said, you will understand why Daxi will be worth so much money as a business, as an opportunity. Okay? Because I have, not only am I an expert in the subject, okay, but because this company has been designed in a very, very unique way to ensure that we are great at Telecom Plus. That's why Telecom Plus was so successful. Yeah. Was because, unlike everyone else who had more money than God, okay, that company became, if you look at utilities firms, there's the big six, and then there's this company. Okay? And we innovate, like, literally weekly of ways in which we can get customers, look after customers, all this sort of stuff. We are the only tech company in the crypto space that I know that fundamentally is focused on the customer side rather than the tech side or the money side. We're the only one that is focused on the customer side that actually wants to treat them as a human. You get other ones say, "Oh, we're very customer focused," and you know they've never met one. Okay? Because as soon as you're talking retail customers, they're people like us. Do you know what I mean? They're not people. Like, I was in the City of London on Wednesday. So we've hired the number one crypto lawyer in the UK, okay? Probably in Europe, actually. And George is his name. And George is a partner of one of the large city firms, and he's the key government advisor on crypto and all that sort of stuff. And we met in a WeWork. You know what a WeWork, you know, these shared office spaces, famous thing. And I was walking around there. They're the biggest landlord in the UK and London now. There are 50 of them. There'll be 80 by Christmas. And so they're a shared office space. And I'm walking around, and you know, there are no jeans that don't have big rips in them. And I'm not talking rips because they actually did some work and worked outside or did something. I mean, they paid for those. Right. And there's no guy that has a clean shaven. Everyone has some half a facial hair and all this, you know, they're all that sort of stuff. And they're all techies, okay? okay? Mm-hmm. And for them, they think that that's the UK. And that's they're those people who go, what do you mean they voted for Brexit? Do you understand? And that's important because that is the real market, okay? Because those guys may look cool, but they've got no money. They have money, but they don't have any money. Do you know what I mean? They would invest it, but they're too busy going, I'm going for an experience in the Maldives for 3 weeks. So I'm a specialist in that sort of stuff. The other important things about the UK is, yeah, I was the DTI advisor on the affiliate space. I'm one of very few people who have listed two companies on the entrepreneurial boards in the UK. Both of them were successful. One of them, which was Telecom Plus, is probably the most successful. And I've been in crypto now for 4 years, okay? And I am going to bring my book out. I've been saving my book. My book is for the public. Mm. My book is for the public, but it's actually for Daxi. I'm doing it as an independent multi-million selling author, me talking about the future of crypto. The real purpose of it is for people like you to get all out to everyone you know and go, just read this, it's a boom. Have a look, see what this guy thinks, because you can get involved for how much? As little as £100, you can get in it, blah, 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 blah. And that's why it's not going to be 500 pages. Okay, I've written it, but I wrote it 2 years ago. I have to rewrite it, but I'm rechanging it. Okay, so when this comes out, which will be hopefully end of September, maybe in October, and the whole idea of it is for you guys is do a big tour all around the UK where people go, oh, get the book signed, because people walk over broken glass to get a creep like me to sign, put their name in the front of them. Weird, right? But having sold so many books and operated, it's important and it's good. I personally like that sort of stuff. I think worth learning is cool. So that's me. All right. And so I'm the founder, I'm the CEO, but there's actually three other important guys. And I'm always the front guy, but behind me is a guy named Tim Baxter. So Tim is finance and operations, and I'm going to introduce you to him, a video of him in a second. A guy named Rafa, and I'm going to show you an interview with Rafa as well, and a guy named Amit. And Amit, so Tim looks after finance and operations, Rafa looks after technology, he's the CTO, and Amit looks after marketing automation.